Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, 10 May 2026, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, in Romans 9, verse 1, there are two great doctrines that are presented in the very first verse, the doctrine of the conscience and the doctrine of the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul, in these three chapters, 9, 10, and 11, his heart is broken. He has great sorrow because the Jewish people, for the most part, have rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they will spend eternity in the lake of fire. For most, there were marvelous exceptions, just as there are marvelous exceptions today. But for the most part, they have rejected Christ as their Savior. And so, he is stating everything he's writing here in this great parenthesis, chapters 9, 10, and 11, is a part of the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. This is God produced, not Paul produced, God produced. This is the truth. So this is very powerful. Verse 1 starts out extremely powerful. And we are in point one of the doctrine of the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. And that is the principle of inspiration established in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. We saw it with the word theopneustos, which is the word literally means God breathed. And this verse very simply says that the Scriptures are God produced, not man produced, God produced. The principle of inspiration is found in the word breathe. Breathing involved both inhale and exhale. In the inhale, God the Holy Spirit communicates his complete and coherent message to men exactly what should be recorded. And we saw that in 2 Samuel 23:2 and 3 and in Matthew 22:41-46. Now I want you, we're still in that point, but let's go over to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, we're going to start at verse 24. Acts 4, 24. And when they heard this, They lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is Thou who didst make the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. Verse 25, who by the Holy Spirit, inspiration, ministry of God the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, thy servant, did say, and then we have a quotation of Psalm 2, 1 and 2. But David, what David produced in the Psalms and here, Psalm 2, is God produced the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. And then turn over to Acts 28. Acts 28. We'll start at verse 24. And Paul has been teaching, and verse 24 says, some were persuaded by the things spoken that were taught by Paul, but others refused to believe. Verse 25, and when they did not agree with one another, they began leaving after Paul had spoken one parting word. The Holy Spirit rightly spoke. God the Holy Spirit rightly spoke through Isaiah the prophet to your fathers. And then he quotes Isaiah 6 verses 9 and 10. Saying, go to this people and say, you will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. And you will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become scar tissue, dull, calloused. And with their ears, they scarcely hear. And they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes. And hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn again, and I should heal them. Isaiah spoke through the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit rightly spoke through Isaiah the prophet. So in the inhale, God the Holy Spirit communicates His complete and coherent message to men exactly what should be recorded. In the exhale, man reduces this communication to writing. Point two, the definition of inspiration. Point two, the definition. God so supernaturally directed the writers of Scripture. God so supernaturally directed the writers of Scripture that without waiving their human intelligence, their vocabulary, their individuality, their literary style, their personal feelings, or any other human factor. So here we have it again. So God so supernaturally, this is God the Holy Spirit, the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. God so supernaturally directed the writers of Scripture that without waiving their human intelligence, vocabulary, individuality, literary style, personal feelings, or any other human factor, His complete and coherent message to man was recorded in perfect accuracy in the original languages of Scripture. Not the one that's in your lap. That's a translation. I have three Bibles up here and they all have a different translation. These are not the God-breathed Scriptures. It's the original languages. So, again, God so supernaturally directed the writers of Scripture that without waiving their human intelligence, vocabulary, individuality, literary style, personal feelings, or any other human factor, His complete and coherent message to man was recorded in perfect accuracy in the original languages of Scripture, the very words bearing the authority of divine authorship. The very words bearing the authority of divine authorship. All right. Point three. Therefore, the origin of Scripture is God. The origin of Scripture is God. The Scriptures are not human viewpoint. The Scriptures are not human viewpoint. Rather, the Scriptures are God the Holy Spirit's use of human agencies and language. Rather, the Scriptures are God the Holy Spirit's use of human agencies and language. Turn over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, we'll start at verse 20. Verse 20. But know this first of all. Make sure you know this, Peter says. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will. No prophecy was ever made by an act of human will. But men, moved by the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Since the Scriptures originate from God, God the Holy Spirit, God is one in essence, three in personality, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Since the Scriptures originate from God, who is perfect, then the Bible is perfect in the original language. Then the Bible is perfect in the original languages. And again, if you have the gift of pastor-teacher, you need to prepare for the ministry. And I'll admit, there are not very many places you can go to prepare for the ministry today. But if you have the gift of pastor teacher and you're interested, I will recommend. There's one place I would recommend that you go. They still teach the languages there, and they were smart. They left California. Anyone who leaves California is smart. They left California and they're now in New Mexico. So if you have the gift of pastor teacher, I'll be glad to sit down with you and talk where you could get and prepare for the ministry. Point four. Therefore, the Bible is the absolute criterion for believers. The Bible is the absolute criterion for believers. Psalm 138, verse 2, God has magnified His Word over all of His name, over His person. He has magnified the Word of God over all of His name. It's more important than the air that you breathe. In Hebrews 4:12, it's called the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, it's called the mind of Christ, the thinking of Christ. In Hebrews 3:7, it's called the voice of the Spirit. So the Bible is the absolute criterion for believers. God has magnified it over His very essence. Psalm 138, 2. Five. The Bible existed in eternity past. The Bible existed in eternity past. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Now, Proverbs chapter 8 is a fantastic chapter in the Old Testament scriptures. And what you have here is the personification of wisdom. The personification of wisdom. What's wisdom? I'm glad you asked. It's the Hebrew word chokmah, C-H. That's a kamas hatuf, and that means it's an O, K-M-A-H. Chokmah. Chokmah is the word for wisdom in the Hebrew. Sophia in the Greek. And here we have the personification of wisdom. The Word of God, wisdom is the Word of God, the absolute truth of the Word of God that you learn and believe, and it's in your heart as wisdom. And when it's wisdom in your heart, you can apply it skillfully and accurately to everything in your life. Anything that's going on in your life. When you have wisdom, the Word of God, the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God that you've learned, you believe, it's in your heart. Now you can apply it skillfully and accurately to your life. Now here we have the personification of wisdom. Proverbs 8:22. The Lord brought me forth as the first of His works, before His deeds of old, before creation, the absolute truth, the wisdom of the Word of God was there before there was any creation. The Lord brought me forth wisdom as the first of His works, before His deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity past, from the beginning, before the world began. Before there was any creation, the Word of God was there. So the Bible existed in eternity past as the mind of Christ. Who's the creator of the universe? Jesus Christ. And the Bible is the mind of Christ, the thinking of Christ. It was there before creation. As the mind of Christ, the Bible existed prior to the time it was reduced to written form. The Bible existed in eternity past. Point six. There was no written scripture. No written scripture until the time of Moses, 1440 B.C. There was no written scripture until the time of Moses, 1440 B.C. Therefore, the pre-canon revelation from Adam to Moses included, first of all, a personal Bible class with the Lord Jesus Christ teaching Adam and Eshah, the woman, in the garden, Genesis chapter 3. So there was no written scripture until the time of Moses. No written scripture. Therefore, the pre-canon revelation from Adam to Moses included a personal Bible class with the Lord Jesus Christ teaching Adam and the woman in the garden, Genesis chapter 3. Secondly, God speaking directly to man. Third, angels teaching man. Four, dreams. And five, visions. So there was no written scripture until the time of Moses, 1440 B.C. So pre-canon revelation from Adam to Moses included a personal Bible class with the Lord Jesus Christ teaching Adam and the woman in the garden, God speaking directly to man, angels teaching men, dreams and visions. Point seven, once the canon began to be written, four categories of Old Testament revelation continued in addition to Scripture. Once the canon began to be written, four categories of Old Testament revelation continued in addition to Scripture. That included, first of all, the spoken word, Isaiah 6, 8 to 10. Secondly, dreams, divine revelation involving a sleeping state, dreams, Numbers 12, 6, Genesis 15, 12, Genesis 31, 10 to 13, dreams, divine revelation involving a sleeping state. Third, visions, where you're wide awake and ecstatic, and that's, we studied that, Zechariah chapter 1, verse 7 through chapter 6, verse 15. Visions, you're wide awake and ecstatic. And fourth, angelic teaching. And that's also in Zechariah. There was a teaching angel that taught Zechariah. Angelic teaching, Zechariah, Deuteronomy 32, verse 2, Psalm 68, 17, Acts chapter 7, 53, Galatians 3:19. So once the canon began to be written, four categories of Old Testament revelation continued in addition to Scripture: the spoken word, dreams, visions, angelic teaching. Point eight, the extent of inspiration. The extent of the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. First of all, the unknown past. First of all, the Bible portrays historical statements and details unknown to man and unconfirmed by human records. And that's Genesis chapter 1 through 11. Genesis chapter 1 through 11. So the Bible portrays historical statements and details unknown to man and unconfirmed by human records. Genesis 1 through 11. Secondly, the Bible is the only accurate record of human history before records were kept. The Bible is the only accurate record of human history before records were kept and of the unknown past before man was here. And of the unknown past before man was here. But remember, make sure you have this down. Only accurate record. Only accurate record is the Bible of human history before records were kept and of the unknown past before man was here. Three, the universe was created before man. The universe was created. Who is the creator of the universe? The Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. The incomparable Christ. That's Hebrews 1:1-3. Thursday night class, absolutely amazing class. Hebrews, the incomparable Christ, creator of the universe, the sustainer of the universe. The universe was created before man. Jesus Christ created the universe. Genesis chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 48, Colossians chapter 1. Fourth, angels were created before man. Angels were created before man. And the fall of Satan occurred before man. So the universe was created before man. Angels were created before man. The fall of Satan occurred before man, Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 28. Five, very few records came through the Noahic flood, the Mabul, not the Charlie flood. This is the Noahic flood. Very few records came through the flood, the Noahic flood. But we have the only accurate record of the antediluvian civilization in Genesis chapters 1 through 9. So very few records came through the Noahic flood, but we have the only accurate record of the antediluvian civilization, Genesis chapters 1 through 9. And 6, as well as we have the only accurate records of the post-diluvian civilization from Genesis chapters 9 through 11. Also, we have the only accurate records of the post-diluvian civilization from Genesis chapters 9 through 11. Absolutely, 100% accurate. Accurate truth. It's in the Word of God. So, the extent of inspiration, first of all, the unknown past. We got it. God produced scriptures. Theopneustos, the God produced scriptures. Well, that's the first thing under the extent of inspiration. But you're going to have to come back next week. Get the rest of it. And this was my great Mother's Day message to you this morning. You can't get a better Mother's Day message than that one. All right. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.